Exodus chapter 2. And there was a man of the house of Levi, and he took to wife a daughter of Levi. It was God's intention that the people, the Israelites, should marry within their tribe. And that was to preserve the inheritance that God intended to give each of the tribes. In other words, each family, not just each tribe, was actually going to get some specific land in the kingdom of God and in Canaan. And God wanted them to keep that in their families. That's why it was such a sin what Ahab did trying to take Naboth's vineyard away. Well, here you've got two people from the tribe of Levi, and they're living at this awful time when baby boys are all killed in Egypt. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she couldn't hide him any longer, she took for him an ark made out of bulrushes or reeds, and she painted it with pitch. And she put the baby in it, and she hid it in the tall grass by the bank of the river. His sister, that's Miriam, stood far away to know what would happen to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down, the Pharaoh who had said all the baby Jewish boys or Hebrew boys must be killed. The daughter of Pharaoh came down. And I'm sure Miriam saw her coming and thought, oh no, this is the worst thing. She came down to wash herself at the river, and her female servants walked along by the side of the river. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her servant to get it. When she'd opened it, she saw the baby, and the baby was crying. So the baby would have been crying, and Miriam would have been thinking, Moses, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, they're going to find you. And it all seemed the worst. And we're going to see that what seemed the worst actually was all for good. So, the daughter of Pharaoh felt pity for the baby and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse of the Hebrew women that she can nurse the child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, yes, go. So Miriam went and called Moses' mother, that's her mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll pay you some money. And the woman took the child, that's her own baby, and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. That's what Moses means, drawn out. It happened in those days, when Moses had grown up, that he went out unto his brothers and looked on their burdens, because the Hebrews are being persecuted by the Egyptians. And he noticed an Egyptian who was hitting a Hebrew, one of his, that's Moses, brothers. He looked this way and that way. When he saw there was no man, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. When he went out the second day, there were two Hebrew men fighting together. And he said to the man who was doing the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow brother? And he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Moses was frightened, and he thought, surely this thing is now known. And when Pharaoh heard this thing, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and lived in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, you see, it says that Moses feared, and so he ran away. But in the New Testament, it also says that he left Egypt not fearing the anger of the king. So, putting them together, what it means is that, yeah, Moses did fear the king, and that's why he ran away. And yet, in another sense, he didn't, because he had faith. And so that is how it is with us. We can believe and not believe all at the same time. And, of course, that's not a great way to be, but all we can say is that it's sort of how humans tend to be. And Moses ended up a man of great faith. Now, the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to the well and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove the women away, but Moses stood up for the women and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How did you get back so quickly today?" And they said, "An Egyptian saved us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew enough water for us and watered our flocks." Now, Moses wasn't an Egyptian, but he obviously looked like one. It's the same when the Hebrews go to Canaan to bury Jacob. The local Canaanites think, "Oh, this is the Egyptians coming," because they look like Egyptians. And so Egypt is like the world, and we may look like the world, but it doesn't mean that we are. We wear the same sort of clothes, we speak the same sort of language, we look the same, but we are God's people. And so he said to his daughters, "And where is this man? Why didn't you leave? Why didn't you invite him that he could eat with us?" So Moses came and lived with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I've been a stranger in a strange land." And although he lived there for 40 years, he always felt this was a strange land. His real hope was to be in the kingdom of God, in the land of Canaan, even though he never actually went into the land of Canaan. And it happened that the king of Egypt died, and the Israelites sighed and groaned because of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their suffering. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant, his promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God noticed them. And so this is really like us. We also are in that same covenant if we have been baptized into Jesus. And God is sensitive to us and to all that we're going through.